Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
This Friday, more than 300,000 young Australians will kick everything from food to furniture and even technology to the curb for the World Vision 40-hour famine. This year, the focus is Rwanda, 20 years after the genocide, and 18-year-old Sydney Uni student Jordan Gallagher has just returned from that part of the world ahead of this weekend's fundraiser. When we welcomed Jordan to Open House, we started with what she wasn't prepared for, even after the orientation and the preparation before her departure.
We'd been through a lot of training and had read a lot and knew a lot about the country, and I'd visited other parts of Africa before, and I definitely thought that I would be more prepared than I was. I don't think you can ever prepare yourself to see human suffering like that. And we spent some time in the genocide museum, the memorial, and just seeing the grief that the country had experienced and how it had been completely torn apart. And yeah, I don't think you can ever prepare yourself for that, no matter how many books you read. Yeah, you're right.
Do you have any images or perhaps faces that stand out for you looking back even now?
We visited a little boy, and his name was Promise. And his father had left for a short time to try and find work in the city, which meant that his mum and his baby sister and this five-year-old boy were left alone to look after themselves, and they were paying rent in a tiny space at the back of a shop, but the work that their mum was bringing in was unstable and barely enough to cover the rent, which meant that for 2 or 3 days a week, Promise and his family just didn't eat. And that was a lot of that was due to the fact that his father was unskilled in agriculture. So because of the genocide, his father had died and not passed on adequate agricultural skills, which meant that when it came time for Promise's father to produce his own food, he actually just wasn't prepared for it. Couldn't secure stable work because of that, which meant that their family is just trapped in this cycle where they can't ever get ahead. Promise's story really stuck with me.
And now, of course, Promise will be the second generation to live without those same skills.
Exactly. So part of World Vision's work in Rwanda is helping kids like Promise and older. So Promise was 5, but particularly older kids in their teenage years to become skilled at agriculture, to develop their agricultural skills so that they can grow community gardens and so that whole members of the community can benefit. So it's really about, sustainability in development.
Jordan, we've kind of skipped ahead here, but because Rwanda is the focus of the 40-hour famine this year, that's where we started. How did you first become involved with the 40-hour famine?
I had an incredible teacher when I was in year 7 who told me that my voice was valuable and that actually by standing up for social issues that I could make a difference, even if it was just a small difference. And so I started doing the 40-hour famine when I was in year 7 and have done it every year ever since, and then applied to the role of youth ambassador. And it was an incredible selection experience. And then, I was chosen. So that's how I ended up in Rwanda. And my job this year is to travel around to schools and tell them about my experience in Rwanda and hopefully empower them as well to take the step and to give up something for the 40-hour famine.
Looking back on your time in Rwanda, Jordan, how much of a shadow is still being cast by that genocide now 2 decades after it?
An unbelievable amount, more than I could ever have known going to the country. If not because of the lack of grandparents and parents, grandparents and a lot of fathers just aren't around. There's just so little presence. And that has a massive effect on family dynamics and structure because, when the mum gets tired, she has no support around her. And agriculturally in terms of the development of the country, they just significantly slowed. Can you imagine if Australia lost all of its farmers? Yeah. What would happen to the food production? What will we do? The development has been slowed and there's less support. But I think it's definitely made them a very determined people. Their They keep saying genocide, never again, never again. And that's the catchphrase. And especially coming up to the 20-year anniversary of the genocide, there's a massive push for never again, and that we are one people, and that there are no longer any divisions between us, but we are all Rwandan. So it's incredible to see how they've healed, and to see how, I mean, as a country, and also how other countries have come together. I mean, 20 years on is probably a bit late, but yeah. 20 years on to help the Rwandan people to heal and recover and to forgive, not even just to release themselves, but to release other people from feeling responsible for their actions. So it's just incredible.
While clearly a young country in terms of the age of the population, Jordan, what's the mood like in Rwanda now, 20 years after the genocide?
I think it's very varied. There were places where joy just overflowed from people. There was a school that we visited, and the children just had these beautiful, bright smiles, and that they call Rwanda the country of a million smiles, because it is. The children especially, in the schools, they were so joyful. But then when we went out to more rural areas, the joy was definitely less present. Mm. It was, something that I learned was that you don't have the energy to be excited and joyful when you don't have any food in your stomach and you're too weak.
Yeah.
And we met this one little girl, and she was, I'll start from the beginning. We visited this community garden, which had benefited from 5 years of World Vision support, and they had gone from a 45% malnutrition rate to less than 5% malnutrition rate. So the community had been completely transformed. And while we were there, I recognised one of the little girls from the community. And I realised that I had met her earlier at a school we visited. And she was dancing with me, and she was playing with me, and we were having a great time. And I realised that actually she probably wouldn't have the strength to be dancing with me or the energy to be happy at that present time if she hadn't benefited from this community garden and her family wasn't making the income that they were from the garden. So, it was quite incredible to see how something as small as a community garden, which was 2 kilograms of seeds and 45 men and women receiving agricultural training, how that can actually change the trajectory of all the children in the area. They're no longer defined by their weakness and their poverty, but by the joy of simply being a child. And yeah, that was quite an incredible thing to witness.
It seems almost banal to say it, but there's truth in such a little going such a long way in a country like Rwanda, doesn't it, Jordan? To the extent that, as an Australian living the way that we do in this country, it defies almost our imagination.
Definitely, definitely. We met a family that was living off $3.50 US a month for food, a family of five. So, I mean, even if they had double that, then they're eating double, and that's insane. So a little bit definitely does go a long way.
Jordan, how has meeting Promise or dancing with that little girl in that Rwandan village changed your life now that you're back in Australia?
That's a great question. There are so many things I could say. I think probably the thing that has changed the most is that I've realised just the capacity for justice in our life, and how much room we have in our lives to be standing up for things like injustice, and to see what a difference it makes, and that it actually transforms people's lives, and that they never have to go back to living in poverty. It means that, you know, small donations, which we would have possibly considered greater before, just becomes so insignificant when you realise actually the incredible change that it's going towards. So I think a lot of what I've realised is the importance of particularly empowering young people, because then they grow up in a pattern of identifying injustice and wanting to do something about it. And not just internationally in the 40-hour famine, but, I mean, there are issues like homelessness and, bullying and all of these incredibly important social issues that we can work for justice towards, and just being mindful of how much power we actually have to change it and how we can use our resources to actually change people's lives, I think has been really important for me, and a lifelong lesson.
Jordan, you mentioned that in Year 7, that teacher, that fantastic teacher, introduced you to the 40-hour famine and you signed up. Just talk to the Jordans of today that are listening right now, or perhaps their mums and dads who are listening right now, and connect with us based on what you've seen about the power of the 40-hour famine.
Yeah. Hi, little Jordans. I want to tell you that you are... Each one of you is a superhero, and I mean that in the way that if a superhero is someone who identifies injustice and works, engages their superhero powers and works to fight that injustice, then that makes you a superhero. And I want to invite you to be a part of actually engaging your superhero skills, because, I mean, just like Spider-Man when he was bitten, he didn't ask for it. We haven't asked to be born in this place. It's just by default of where we've been born and the blessings that we've received. And we can actually use those to change people's lives and to transform them and to help other people, not just to get out of poverty, but to feel valued and to feel, desperation doesn't have to exist if people can look after themselves. So you can be a part of that.
Jordan, it's been brilliant meeting you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.